If you're going to a solid Lutheran church that does the liturgy where the historic worship is used, if there ever was a time in the history of the West to just keep doing it, this is that time.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio show.
Because the ones in collapsing evangelicalism are going to start looking to Rome or Eastern Orthodoxy or a blown-out Episcopal church, looking for something historical rather than just experiential. And I want us to be one of the markets that they bump into.
You can meet and hear Rod Rosenblatt June 14th and 15th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Southern Baptists who disagree over what the Bible says about salvation and predestination have had it explained for them by Willie Robertson of TV's Duck Dynasty. The bearded Robertson, dressed in hunter's camouflage, told pastors gathering for the Southern Baptists' annual meeting in Houston that seeking converts can be compared to hunting ducks.
If a hunter wants to hunt ducks, and he needs to figure out where those ducks are going to be, all right? He needs to predetermine where they are, and if he gets there before the ducks, or what we call preduxtination, well, then he can elect to shoot them of his own free will.
Robertson's backwoods theology won laughter and applause from Baptist pastors who are divided over whether salvation is a matter of free will or is reserved for the predestined elect. I'm Steve Coleman.
All right, that's a little of the story, a humorous side of the story coming out of Houston over the last couple of days. A debate over predestination in the Southern Baptist Convention. Of course, we're talking about the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, 16 million members, and they meet annually. They often do have very open debates over theology, but I can't think of one that's probably a bigger divide historically than between an Arminian kind of decision theology and the double predestination of Calvinism. Joining us to talk about this debate in the Southern Baptist Convention, Pastor Ken Jones. He's pastor of Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, and co-host of the radio show called The White Horse Inn. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be with you again, Todd.
How did it come about? Can you give us something of a history lesson that in one denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, you have two so very different theological viewpoints?
Wow. Yeah, that's real simple. Historically, though, as you mentioned, this has been a point of contention. It goes back even before the Reformation. The debate between Augustine and Pelagius, a 5th century British monk, over the nature of humanity, whether or not we have shared in Adam's guilt, or if Adam's sin only sets a bad example for us not to follow. It becomes more nuanced, and the position that was held by Pelagius has been softened to some degree by what we call semi-Pelagians, who say that unlike Pelagius, who said Adam's sin only affected himself directly and made it possible for, gave us a negative example not to follow, semi-Pelagians do acknowledge that Adam's sin does have an effect on fallen humanity. However, it comes down to the question of the will, and from their position, they maintain that man is a fallen humanity is affected morally by Adam's sin directly, and that we are born guilty, but we still have the capacity just innately, when assisted by divine grace, to make a choice to embrace God's grace in Christ. And that's the semi-Pelagian position. The historic Protestant position, and the one that was held by Augustine prior to the 16th century, was that we are all guilty in Adam, and therefore dead in a condition of being spiritually dead, and therefore without divine grace, we are unable to do anything according to the will and word of God. Now, the question of the will, that becomes the most significant issue for semi-Pelagians versus Augustinians or Calvinists. The assumption is by taking Augustine's position that a person, therefore, is not acting according to their free will. I love Jonathan Edwards' definition of the will. Edwards says that the will is nothing more than the mind choosing, and it always chooses what it perceives to be of the highest good. However, its perception of good is according to its nature. So if the nature is corrupt, then its perception of good will even be corrupt. Therefore, what is necessary for one's personal embrace of Christ is an action of God on the will, and that's what we call regeneration. And so in regeneration, now we become cognizant of our fallen condition and as Christ as being the only solution for that condition. So it really kind of it revolves around the question of the will and the assumption held by many Southern Baptists, and this has been the case probably because of the legacy of Finney.
Well, let's take a break right there, Ken. When we come back, let's pick it up with our little history lesson, how it is that even today, and I mean today, down in Houston, the Southern Baptist Convention is split to a certain degree over the issue of man's will. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org, shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the debate over the nature of man's will in the Southern Baptist Convention as they meet in Houston, Texas. Pastor Ken Jones, pastor of Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, and co-host of the radio show The White Horse Inn, is our guest. Ken, you were in the middle of a little history lesson, starting with Augustine and Pelagius, and then you say what we're really seeing here in the American wing of the church here is the influence of Charles Finney. How would you describe that?
Yes, well, let me back up just for a moment, because Martin Luther took the same position, really, as Augustine in terms of the nature of the will. The error that's being held by Arminians and Southern Baptists, those that side with the Arminian position, is that predestination somehow denies free will. And Augustine and Luther came out on the same point, on the same side on this, that the will is always subject to its nature. So every action of the will is free. The question is not whether or not the will is free. The question is whether or not what the condition of the soul is. If the soul is regenerate, then it is renewed and therefore able to see oneself as a sinner before God and Christ as the only solution. But it's always a free act. It's according to the nature. But when by the time you get to Charles Finney and with the revivalism that he was famous for, Finney really kind of steps back from, he goes beyond the semi-Pelagian view and pretty much goes back to the Pelagian view that fallen man, even though he is Adam's sin only affected Adam and only gave us a bad example. Now, the revivalistic fervor, which was called evangelism, that really became the dividing line for many Southern Baptists. And so, therefore, it's not surprising that many Southern Baptists have a strong affinity towards Charles Finney. They have employed many of his revivalistic methodologies, including the altar call and special music for people to make a decision. And they have bought in, unwittingly perhaps, to some degree, they have bought into Finney's erroneous view of the condition of man. And so I think the contemporary debate is just a continuation of a debate that came along during the Great Awakening, and that is, what is the condition of a fallen man? Are we dead in trespasses and sins, or are we simply in a coma?
Well, now, the plan here in the Southern Baptist Convention appears to be, in some general sense, at least based upon a statement issued by the Executive Committee President Frank Page on Friday in advance of this week's meeting, saying they're going to try and bring the two sides in this theological debate together and chart a way forward. But it sounds to me like whether it's Augustine and Pelagius or two Southern Baptists who disagree on the same subject, can these two theologies be reconciled?
Not in the real world. In a make-believe world, a certain denomination that was known for being a non-denomination, they took the position of what they called Calminianism, which simply tries to find a middle ground where there is no middle ground. That's like looking for a fourth part of a triangle. It simply doesn't exist. And logically, again, what they're trying to defend is man's free will. And what we don't understand is man's free will is not the issue here. It's the condition of the soul as a result of Adam's sin. So it really goes back to original sin.
Ken, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was simply going to say that they've been trying to find a middle way ever since this became an issue within the convention, and they've yet to do it because there's no middle way there.
What is your reaction to, and this is related to this, although a cause and effect is hard to establish, that recently in several of the Southern Baptist Convention's universities or institutions of higher learning, Baptists with a Calvinist bent or an outspoken Calvinist viewpoint on this issue have not had their contracts renewed. I think it's happened three or four times already. What's your thought there?
Well, on the one hand, you could say it's unfortunate, but I don't think it's really that unfortunate because at least those institutions that have not renewed the contracts of avowed Calvinists on their faculty. They're being consistent with their convictions. And to that degree, you know, I applaud it. Be clear. Know what you stand on, and therefore be very, very defined in terms of what you won't tolerate or embrace. So if they want a consensus across their faculty on this particular issue, then that's the most I think that's the most honest way to do it. Be open about it. But again, this is it's a problem because there's so many presuppositions on the Arminian side that I don't think is consistent with historical. It's not a consistent view or an even honest view of the historical Protestant or Reformed position, such as one of the arguments that's always raised is if it's about free will, then that makes, if God is already predetermined, I should say, then that means evangelism doesn't matter. And boy, that's just, it's ludicrous. It's not even a good argument, let alone it's certainly not the case in historic Protestantism. The other thing is the idea that if God is already predetermined, then we're nothing more than robots. And again, that misses the point, but it's consistent with their view, those that are Arminian, that faith precedes regeneration, because it comes down to whether or what is the condition of the soul. And if the soul is only comatose, then all it needs is assistance. But if it's dead, then it first needs life. So really the point of contention is what is the condition of fallen man.
What do you make of the fact that, at least according to Lifeway, a poll, the polling agency of the Southern Baptist Convention, kind of doing some internal polling, that pastors under the age of 44 are increasingly Calvinist in their viewpoint on this issue of the will, whereas kind of the old guard pastors are very sparsely Calvinist, less than 1% of pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention over the age of 44 would regard themselves as Calvinist on this issue. What are your thoughts there, Ken?
Well, the older ones that are non-Calvinist, that makes sense because Billy Graham, for all that he's done for American evangelicalism when it comes to reaching out to the lost, he follows in that line that he says that faith precedes regeneration. So many of these older Southern Baptist preachers have been influenced by Billy Graham crusades and Billy Graham's teaching on salvation and how to lead sinners to salvation, and if not, have grown up in those same schools. So it's not surprising. And there has been a resurgence in recent years, part of the Young Restless and Reform movement that has influenced a lot of the young Southern Baptists. I do have some concerns there. I'm not sure if they are what I would call single-issue Calvinists, if not, you know, more than they are truly Reformed. And by single-issue, I think a lot of them have discovered the doctrine of election and understand it to be a biblical doctrine, but being Reformed is much more than holding to a position on predestination or sovereignty of God.
I come from the Lutheran perspective, and we obviously would disagree with one another on the issue of the nature of predestination, nature of election, whereas we would narrowly agree on the issue of the will, although we might use different language, I think. Does it matter that some of the brightest lights, my term, for lack of a better word, in the Southern Baptist Convention, I'm thinking about guys like Russell Moore and Albert Mohler, are in fact Reformed Baptists, and they do have a tremendous influence on Baptist laity and on those younger pastors?
Oh, absolutely. I think the gentlemen that you mentioned have had a tremendous influence on a lot of the young Southern Baptists who have appreciated the intellectual vigor of guys like Al Mohler and their apologetics, and they have been therefore influenced by those guys and would embrace to some degree their commitment to Reformed theology. Definitely. And I think that's also some of the same ones They are some of the same ones that have been influenced by the broader Young Restless and Reform movement. And that movement has come mostly from Desiring God sort of ministries with John Piper, who's a Baptist. He's not Southern Baptist, but he's Baptist. And also the work of Together for the Gospel and the Gospel Coalition, where you do have varying degrees of Calvinistic Baptists or Baptistic thinkers that are part of that group. And they've had a large impact on a lot of young people.
Folks, you will find a link to the White Horse Inn at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ken Jones is pastor of Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, and co-host of the White Horse Inn. Ken, thank you very much.
All right. It's always a pleasure, Todd.
Folks, if you're a fan of the White Horse Inn, you can join us this weekend. This weekend, a Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. One of the other co-hosts, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn, will be making the case against pietism and making the case for Christ alone. It's not too late to attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You can pay the $75 registration fee on Friday or Saturday at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville this weekend. You can meet and hear all of the speakers, but it's not too late. It is too late to receive meals for the conference. You're on your own for dinner Friday and lunch and dinner on Saturday. But join us this weekend for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 1300 Beltline Road in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, we'll talk about marriage and homosexuality with Pastor Tim Pauls.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
You're 3 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm going to be making the case that postmodernity, rather than dying and going away, has actually become the default setting for the way people think in many of the churches today.
Chris Roseborough, on his presentation, Postmodernism in the Church, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
As a result of it, it constitutes a significant threat against biblical, historic, Orthodox Christianity, because its epistemology is extremely irrational, subjective-based, and in fact, it's even a form of enthusiasm, God-withinism, that at the end of the day has as its project the eroding away and deconstructing of what historic Christianity teaches and confesses.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.